CTV.
This is Martin Zender here, doing my best work between a garbage can and a ladder, which might be the same, or it might not be. Might not be the same. It might be the same as like a rock in a hard place. Anyway, a viewer reminded me yesterday that I had been talking about my books. I'm glad this viewer reminded me of that, because I completely forgot that I had been talking about my three newest books, because I just don't think much about them. But yes, I did start a series with you, a mini series, I guess, talking about three books: Eve Raised, Beyond Politics, and Divine Principles of Sexual Attraction. I will be getting back to those books. I got off on this sidetrack, became alarmed that doors were being opened to allow a compromising of the evangel. I can't let that happen. So I'm going to conclude my remarks on that topic today. And after I've done that, then I will tomorrow get back to Beyond Politics. But I just remembered that I had a sub-series within Beyond Politics, and it was topics dealing with the final years of Millennium 6. And I think this is very interesting to you. It's very important to all of us. So I kind of include that in the book Beyond Politics, because it does have to do with the political situation. Don't worry, I'm not going to get political on you. I am going to point out situations that have arisen and that will arise in the development of the final years of Millennium 6. But for now, as promised, I'm going to go to a very important passage of Scripture that will give you the nuts and bolts of salvation. It's a very practical thing. I know that we are designated beforehand, and anyone who is destined to be in the body of Christ is designated beforehand. That's the action above the stage. But as this program of God is worked out on the great stage of life, there are certain things that will happen, and they may seem very ordinary, very normal. I'll tell you one thing they are. They're very practical. Now, here we go. Colossians chapter 1. Many of you have heard this before, but every now and then I need to do this. As I said yesterday, there are new people all the time coming to this channel to hear somebody who makes sense and who brings a successful Savior to you and a great God, and who indeed calls out people ahead of time for special work. Because I remind you, and for those who may be hearing this for the first time, God is the Savior of all humanity, especially of believers. That's 1 Timothy 4:10. So catch that. God saves everyone. But how do you especially save someone? Good question. You especially save someone by giving them special work to do, by calling them ahead of time, by glorifying them early, and bringing them in on the operation of Christ, which is to bring the universe in happy, joyous subjection to God. How would you like to be in on that plan? Well, this is what will happen if you are. Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, through the will of God. Wow, I just, right there, free will is done away with. Paul was an apostle through the will of God. And Paul, in another place, I think it's 1 Timothy chapter 1, calls himself a pattern of those who are about to be believing. Yes, that's 1 Timothy. Follow this. If Paul is a pattern of those who are about to be believing after him, and he is the first member of the body of Christ, that means that everyone who believes subsequent to Paul will follow the pattern. And what is the pattern? Here it is in the first sentence of the letter to the Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus through the will of God. It is the will of God that makes us called, makes us believers, not our will. Paul and Brother Timothy to the saints and believing brethren in Christ in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are thanking the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, always praying concerning you, hearing of your faith in Christ Jesus, and the love which you have for all the saints because of the expectation reserved for you in the heavens. Let's pause there for a moment. There's an expectation that we have that has been reserved for us. Don't you love walking into a restaurant and knowing that you have a reservation? All those sorry saps are standing in line hoping to get a seat, and you waltz in ahead of them and you clear your throat. This is what I do anyway. I recommend it. Yes, a reservation for Zender. And the people who don't have reservations, it just kind of goads them a little bit, but it feels good, doesn't it, to have a reservation anywhere, at a hotel, at a restaurant. How about this reservation? A reservation, a room, so to speak. A position, a place set aside for you. You have reservations. So you will get to the celestial realms after Christ snatches you away, and you will say, oh, yes, reservation for Smith, reservations for two. Right this way, right this way. And then the seating host or hostess will lead you to a nice table, and well, it feels good. Well, this reservation is going to feel really good. Here we go. Let's continue. The expectation reserved for you. Where? In the heavens. This is better than Olive Garden. It's in the heavens. Which you being, I got to take my glasses off because I can't even read this anymore. Which you hear before in the word of truth of the evangel. You hear about this in the word of truth of the evangel, which being present with you, according as in the entire world also, is bearing fruit and growing according as it is among you. That sounds very confusing, but the evangel does go out to the whole world. The message is published. I remind you that the Bible is the best-selling book on the planet, and yet only those who have a reservation will read it and understand it. This is caused by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the energy of God that causes you to believe the words on the page. Not everybody believes them. Not everybody understands them. And part of the role of an evangelist or a teacher is to bring these to your attention. And if you have a reservation, sorry, I got to show you my situation here. My camera just fell because it is sitting on a little pot used for plants. So I have my camera sitting on top of here. Mind you, in between the garbage can and the ladder, this is my crystal cathedral. So the word goes out, as Paul says here. The word's gone out to the entire world, but only those who have been designated beforehand and have a reservation will hear it. Being present with you according as in the entire world also is bearing fruit and growing. When did this start? Here's the critical part. This is the nuts and bolts of salvation that I promised you. From the day on which you hear and realized the grace of God in truth, according as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow slave, who is a faithful dispenser of Christ for us. A faithful dispenser. What is a faithful dispenser? A faithful dispenser of Christ is someone who apprehends the words of the evangel and gives it to you without additions, without subtractions. As I said the other day, cuts and pastes the truth and then brings it to you. And then it resonates with you because the Spirit of God causes you to believe it. How is it that this word goes out? This is the best-selling book. It's in every hotel room in America, thanks to the who puts the Bibles in the hotels? Not the Bereans. The Watchtower people? The Holiday Inn Bible Foundation, the Red Roof Inn Ecclesiastical Foundation. No, I forget who the people are that put the Bibles in, but it doesn't matter because only those who have a reservation will hear it and understand it. But listen to this now. This sounds very normal, very ordinary, and not at all spiritual. And yet this is the most spiritual thing that can happen to a human being on the earth, according as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow slave, who was a faithful dispenser of Christ for us. And it happened on a day, the day on which you hear and realize the grace of God in truth. This is not just the grace of God, because many people talk about the grace of God, but you specifically heard. Anyone who has a reservation to come in early on this great plan of God, they hear it, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by a declaration of God, and they hear it from faithful dispensers, and it happens on a particular day. These are the words that I want to bring to you. According as it is among you, from the day on which you hear and realized the grace of God in truth, according as you learned it. Teaching isn't important. Doctrine isn't important. The people who have a reservation learned about that reservation, and they learned the truth pertaining to that reservation from a faithful herald, a faithful evangelist, a faithful teacher, namely Epaphras, who himself learned it from Paul, who learned it from Christ. Remember that game you played when you were a kid? Telephone, you pass along a phrase, and as it goes down the line, it tends to get corrupted. But the Holy Spirit does not allow that to happen. But many corrupting elements can creep in, and that's what I've been talking about in these last few days. The corrupting factors that can creep in, that can distort the evangel of Christ, so that by the time it gets to you, if it's been corrupted, by the time it gets to you, it is a shadow of what it was. In fact, it can be turned into something completely different. For instance, what's the difference between a message of the transcendent grace of God, that we are saved by God according to the will of God, not according to human will? What's the difference between that and a message that says, well, that's nice, but you also have to be a good person, go to church, be baptized, speak in tongues? The message that has started pure through Christ and Paul, then with human activity, this is always the danger. We don't need to worry about it from Christ to Paul. We know it comes purely to Paul. And Paul was a faithful dispenser. But as it comes, and this is why Paul wrote it down, as it comes from Paul to us, it touches many human hands, many grimy human hands from people who may have an agenda. The circumcisionists of Paul's day had an agenda. They wanted to corrupt the Word of God. They wanted to add to it. They added foreign elements to it that had to do with law keeping. Read Galatians. Paul went crazy whenever this happened. No, Paul sent forth faithful dispensers. One of these was Epaphras. I love that guy. Don't even know him. I can't wait to see that guy, because he made sure that it was right. He checked with Paul. He made sure the elements were in place. The death of Christ for sin, his entombment and his resurrection, with nothing added, no law, no behavioral issues, no nothing added to it. Made sure he had it right, and then he kept it in his mind, concentrated, and then he took it to the Colossians. And he said, here is the word that I got from Paul, that Paul got from Christ. And thankfully, Paul wrote it down. Otherwise, we'd be hopeless. How do I know that the scriptures are the inspired word of God? Because God would not leave us without an anchor. He would not leave us without a definitive, recorded standard of truth. And of course, we are very zealous. I am very zealous, and others with me, to make sure that that truth has been translated correctly. Because if it's not, you know, one little word can screw it up. One wrong word. The day on which you hear and realize the grace of God in truth, not just the grace of God, because like I said, everybody talks grace. A lot of people talk a good game of grace, but they can't play it. This is the grace of God in truth, not the grace of God watered down, but the grace of God in truth. And this they learned by hearing. Doesn't sound very spiritual or very romantic or very exciting, but it is the most exciting thing going on this planet. Maybe you haven't heard me say this before. Some of you have, but the four most spiritual words I have ever heard, I heard them for the first time coming from the lips of my friend Matt Rohrbach, who edits the ZWTF, his sister. This was 1993, maybe 1992. Matt Rohrbach was a co-worker of mine in the post office, and I handed him a book one day called The Outcome of Infinite Grace. It's a little booklet. It's distributed by Concordant Publishing Concern. Go to concordant.org and you'll find it. It's by a guy named Loyal Hurley. The Outcome of Infinite Grace, what's it about? It's about the outcome of infinite grace. Where does infinite grace lead? It leads to the salvation of all. Anyway, I gave that book to Matt. He came in the next day, slammed it down on the case where I was sorting mail. I was thinking, uh-oh. Bad news here. Nope, Matt said, I want you to know this book kept me up until 2 a.m. He says, I can't deny this. There's too many scriptures in there. It's true. Matt says, you got to come over tomorrow night, and we need to talk to my sister about this. His sister, Marion. It's like, uh-oh. Well, we went over to Marion's house, and the topic du jour was the fact that God was in sovereign control of everything. This sounds like I'm getting off topic, but I'm not. And I know where I'm going with this. I read the verse in Isaiah 45, verse 7, where God says, I, the Lord, am the maker of good and the creator of evil. I do all these things. And Matt and I were trying to explain to her how evil was necessary. It provided a contrast. It brings people to a knowledge of good. And then when evil has done its necessary work, then God abolishes it. And then he becomes all in all. She goes, I can't believe that. That's ridiculous. God wouldn't do that. So I looked at Matt. He looked at me and it's like, this is going to be rough. Put on some coffee. Matt put on some coffee. And then Marion was just, she was just sitting there at the table, paging through her scriptures. And then came the four most spiritual words I have ever heard. And those words were, and I quote, oh, I get it. That's it. No speaking in tongues, no rolling in the aisle, no waving of the arms, no jumping up and down, no screaming, no speaking in tongues. Four words, oh, I get it. That was the day on which she realized. And it wasn't only that topic of God created evil, but it was the whole gamut. But it started with that. That was the day on which Marian realized the grace of God in truth, according as she heard it from Matt and from me, according as we cut and pasted the truth for her from Scripture. That's how it happens. Faith comes by hearing and by coffee. According as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow slave, who is a faithful dispenser of Christ for us, who makes evident also to us your love and spirit. Therefore, we also, from the day on which we hear, do not cease praying for you and requesting that you may be filled full with the realization of his will. All right, that comes later, being filled full. I've been accused in the past of saying, oh, Martin Zender says that people have to have everything figured out, got to have all their ducks lined up before salvation comes in a practical sense to that person. I've never said that. I've never said that everybody has to have all their ducks lined up. I have said that you have to have your pigeons lined up. I would never say you have to have your ducks lined up. That's ridiculous. That is a lie. But seriously, there are elements that belong to this evangel. I'm going to go through those with you now very, very briefly. The elements are necessary. It's not that those who believe these elements will be saved. It's that those who have been designated beforehand for salvation, who have the reservation in their name in the heavens, those people will hear the truth sometime in their life. How do you know, Martin Zender? Because those whom he designates beforehand, these he calls also. Anyone that God and Christ designate beforehand to have a reservation in the heavens to come in early on salvation before everybody else, they will hear it sometime in their life. Someone will come to them, maybe a postal worker, and give them the truth, and they will dispense it as it was written. Here are the foundations of the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. You can go through it yourself. It's getting dark here. I can't see the page too well, so I'll just give it to you from memory. It is the death of Christ for sin. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Christ. These are the elements of belief. That Christ died for our sins. He didn't just die for nothing. He died to do something. And that something was to deliver us from our sins. Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. This too was written down. He was entombed and he was resurrected on the third day. You say, Martin, everybody believes that. It's so simple. How can people not believe it? Huh? Let me tell you how. In the closing moments of this video, I will tell you how. Satan, our enemy, has used religion, namely the Christian religion, to put tripwires in front of the essential elements of this simple message to keep people from believing it. Not only that, but it's more diabolically clever than that, because he gets the people to think they are believing the truth, but they're not. The first element is Christ died. There's a bug flying around me. It's a giant bug. It's a very bold bug, and it's bugging me. That's why they named them bugs, I guess. Adam said, this thing's bugging me, and he said, oh, that's it, a bug. The false teaching of the Trinity, which claims that Jesus Christ is God the Father, that denies the death of Christ. How? Because if Jesus Christ is God the Father, and if God can't die, which of course he can't die, then Jesus Christ did not die. I know many of you have heard this before. Every once in a while I have to say it again to remind you of it and to introduce it to people who are just now hearing this. Beware of the doctrine of the Trinity, It's not in scriptures. Jesus Christ is called the Son of God. But how clever it is to take something so simple, belief in the death of Christ, and to cause people to practically, to literally, actually deny it by thinking they're doing Christ a favor, that is, making him God instead of what he said he was, which was the Son of God. Devious, deviously ingenious on the part of Satan. Next, Christ died for our sin. Christ took, you may have heard this, Christ took the sins of the world on him while he was on the cross. And in his suffering, he justified the entire human race. He put the old humanity to death on that cross. He died, Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. That's a critical part of the gospel of the grace of God. That if you believe it, it will be proof that you have a reservation, that you're going to be seated early at the big show. What false teaching prevents people from believing the simple truth that Jesus Christ died for sin? The teaching of free will. Free will says that your default setting when you are born is that you are a sinner bound for hell. You are doomed from your birth. And the only way you can get out of this doom, and the doom is quite serious, it's being tormented in hell for eternity, according to Christian religion. The only way to get out of it is by exercising your free will, because God cannot force himself on you. He will not force himself on you, and therefore it is up to you where you will spend eternity. Ooh, that is a blatant denial of the truth that Christ died for sin. Christ died for sin. My teaching is the teaching of the Apostle Paul, that sin no longer stands in the way of humanity, that the old humanity was crucified with Christ. Romans chapter 6, read the whole chapter. It's glorious. Christ did this. Christ did this. You don't have to acknowledge it. You don't even have to acknowledge it. It's true for you whether you believe it or not. The fact that Christ crucified the old humanity at the cross means that all humanity will one day be reconciled to God. But what we're talking about now is having a reservation, getting a special table, going to the front of the line. How do you get that special salvation? How do you get the special part of 1 Timothy 4:10, God is the Savior of all humanity, especially of believers? By believing. Get it? God is the Savior of all humanity, especially of believers. It's the belief that Christ's sacrifice alone, with nothing added to it, not even your free will, is sufficient to finish the deal of salvation. The deal of salvation, it's not even a deal. Salvation was finished on the cross, whether you believe it or not. But believing it brings you a nice table. It's a nice table in the celestial restaurante. So now you know. Those who have a reservation will believe the truth. The truth is that Christ, Jesus Christ on the cross, paid in full the toll of the old humanity, and he killed it. And that Jesus Christ died. Only by him dying could he abolish the first death. Only by him dying could God look at humanity now and say, that's justified. That is right. God couldn't do that with the old humanity because it was sinful. It was wretched. It was old. God said, I will choose a representative man, my own son. I will let one man stand for the entire race and do a work that no one else could possibly do. This is why he is called the last Adam, because through one man death came into all humanity. Through another man, life comes to all humanity. It was not optional in Adam, was it? It's not optional in Christ. I bring you this message as purely as I know how, from the Word of God. And I pray that today is the day that you believe the grace of God in truth, according as you learned it today.